and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady has been in the media landscape and the entertainment landscape all of her life. There's radio, there's TV, there's books, there's nothing she hasn't done. It's Bianca Dye. How are you doing today, Bianca?
Oh my God, Goff, I am going to save this recording, and this is going to be my introduction now for anything I ever do ever again. That was the best intro ever. Thank you. I feel old. Someone called me a veteran the other day, and I went, no, that means I'm old. Anyway, I guess it's a privilege to still be working in the industry, so I guess I should just be grateful.
Yes.
Hello and welcome. Thank you. We finally did it. I'm finally here.
No, that's all good.
I'm such a turd. I cancelled on you. I'm an absolute turd burger, but I'm here and I'm excited.
A turd burger indeed, but a delightful one. Now, there's one thing that you and I have in common, and I've never been able to discuss this with anybody else in the whole world before.
No.
And that is the fact that you and I both have a father who was well known.
Yes.
And so I'm curious to know from your perspective, because obviously I know my perspective, but from your perspective, what was that like growing up? Like at school, was there bullying and teasing was it like for you?
God, there was so much. Look, looking back now, I'm so proud of Dad. He's, you know, as he would be of yours, it's that, you know, you realise how hard it is to have a career in showbiz as you get older. And now as an adult in the industry, I go, oh God, Dad's a bloody hero and he's a legend. But when I was a kid, I remember there were these ads that went to air in Melbourne for Footscray Market.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, now my dad would be cancelled. It would be totally un-PC for him to do these ads. But he used to dress up as like that, the wog grocer, right?
Yeah.
And he would have a moustache on and he would sing, Footscray Market, is it the best? Cheaper the prices, into the West. And they were these TV commercials that had high rotation, like prime time. And so kids would come to school and go,
just bark that at you.
Footscray Market is the best. And I'd be like, well, like I guess I learnt my smart ass ways there, because I, instead of kind of cowering and being sad and being upset and feeling bullied, I'd go, at least my dad's on TV. Your dad's not on TV. Like I don't know where I got that chutzpah. Probably from my dad, but I'd turn around and go, oh, well, great. Well, we get free fruit from the fruit market, so what do you get for free? You know, like I just gave it back to them.
About the teachers?
Yeah, well, there was one.
Because it can be a 50-50, as in like some are fans and so they'll give you a bit of extra and some want to like stick it in because it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's so true. I actually had some people who weren't fans of Dad.
Yeah.
I think one situation where Dad had like been with a woman. This is very, very early on, when, you know, before he met my stepmom and after he was with my mum, he was a bit of a root rash. And I'm sure he'll confess to that. And he'd been with someone and it was a teacher's sister or something. And she let me know in no uncertain terms that my dad was not very popular in their family. And I was like, it's not my fault. I didn't do it.
Well, that's the other thing. Cause I mean, like you get blamed for stuff that you haven't, like you're a child, man.
Like,
I don't get a vote.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why is this on me all of a sudden?
I know. You're so right. I did cop it because Dad was a very lovable character. He has a very lovable, very charismatic personality, and he's very funny. But if you don't like my dad, you don't like him. You think he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
So I remember once when we were in King's Cross, because Dad used to have an apartment in the Cross and we always used to fly between Melbourne and Sydney. And that was kind of my childhood. It was pretty crazy. I'm sure yours was as well. But he, I remember someone had spray painted on the wall, like graffiti, Izzy Dye is a dickhead or Izzy Dye sucks or something derogatory. And I remember being with him and I feel like, is this a wives' tale that I made up? But no, I'm pretty sure we were in the car, we were in the back of the car and Dad went and I had to sit in the car and while it was parked and he went and spray painted over the top and wrote legend. You know, he's a legend. And I always thought, you know what? That's great, because he just took that kind of stuff. He didn't care. He took all of that stuff on the chin. He was like, fuck you, whatever. I'm a Jewish, you know, refugee, came over here with nothing with his parents. And, you know, they escaped Auschwitz, the Jewish concentration camps, and they had nothing. And so he came out here and worked his butt off. So I don't blame him for saying fuck you to everyone else. You know, like I worked hard, I'm here, I've got a career in showbiz, and if you don't like me, piss off, you know. And I guess I took a lot of that on board, you know, watching him. That was a lot of my growing up was watching how to behave when people weren't that nice to you.
Well, that leads me to another question in regards to, now you've done radio for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, when you do radio, it's Bianca Dye. You're not an actor. You're not a character. It's Bianca Dye. Now, there are going to be people who are going to hang shit because that's just what some people do, especially with social media and whatnot.
Yeah.
So how do you handle the detractors who would just want to sink the boot in?
Look, I'm really lucky. I mean, firstly, I live my life with blinkers on. I live in a big bubble of denial. So I'm sure there are people that don't like what I do, but I don't know about them. I don't really know. And I know there are definitely out there. I know if I do an article, say if I did something and it was in the Courier Mail, I don't read the comment section because I know in the comment section you'll get your keyboard warriors going, oh, I wish you'd shut up about fucking IVF. I don't care. I don't care about it. I don't read any of that. So I only get the nice stuff. So I get beautiful comments on my Instagram from couples, from husbands saying, you cheered my wife up today on the way to work. You were talking about your anxiety. She gets anxiety. She came home and said, God, Bianca talked about anxiety today on the radio and it made me feel better. It made me feel less alone knowing that someone like her gets it as well. Because I think people think just because you're on the radio, you have this perfect life. And it's like, fuck, I can assure you, it's absolutely not. I have the most shittiest days, but I'm very open and honest and I'm very authentic like that. And I think I have more positive people, I have more positive feedback than negative because I am so honest. I don't sort of pretend that my life's perfect. I say, well, I'm going through a shitty breakup, IVF, I've had a miscarriage, or I lost a job on the radio. I'm very open about that. And I think when you're open, you let people in and you show your vulnerability. And I think that's a strength, but it's only something I've learned later in life. So how to handle the naysayers, I ignore them. Or if I do get it, I've had a couple of nasty messages on Instagram, but honestly, I could count them on two hands. Like I'm pretty lucky.
Well, I mean, I could send you a few if you want them
please
to be
do.
Increased.
Please do. Yes, shit can me. I need it. Bring me down to earth. I will send back messages that are really I will confront them. I will say, look, I'm really sorry that you feel that way about what I said on the radio today or whatever it is. I apologize if I hurt your feelings or if you think I'm wrong. Like if we're talking about vaccinations and stuff and someone was like, you shouldn't be telling people to vax or you shouldn't be telling people not to vax. And I was like, I'm not telling anyone to do shit. I'm a fence sitter. I don't particularly want to get vaccinated, but I know I'm going to have to if we're going to move on. You know, I was putting it off because I was thinking I'm going to do another round of IVF and I don't want to do it because I don't know how it's going to affect things in your body. But now I'm like, I'm just going to have to do it because if I want to travel and live a normal life, I'm going to have to. But it's very hard being in the public eye and having those kind of opinions because you're always going to get people who disagree. You can't have everyone like you, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I just hone in on people and go, I'm really sorry you feel that way. And most people are so shocked that you reply. They're like, oh, my God, I didn't think you'd actually reply. And I'm like, yeah, I'm replying. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry you think I'm a dickhead, but I'm me and how about you just unfollow me? And people usually end up coming back to you and saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't think you'd reply. You know, they're kind of these dickhead keyboard warriors that they sit back and they don't think that you're going to kind of confront them. And then when you do, I think they kind of go, oh, okay, shit, sorry. All right, sorry I said that. So, yeah, I've been pretty lucky, I have to say.
Now, one thing you did quite a few years ago was you were on Thank God You're Here, which was a wonderful improv show.
Oh, I loved it.
Now, obviously, the number one question everyone's going to ask you about it was it for real? Was it real improv?
Yeah.
And just generally speaking, what was that experience like?
It was real improv. Look, I remember being on that show. It was on my birthday too, and I was only young. I reckon I would have been maybe 32, 33. It was a long time ago. And I remember wanting to be on that show. Fifi Box had been on it and, you know, all these celebs, Hamish Blake, you know, people I looked up to in radio. And I was like, oh, I really want to be on that show. And they contacted me, Working Dog, and I remember being, I just shat myself. I was like, oh, my God. I got to fly down to Melbourne because I was in Sydney at the time at Nova. I got to fly down to Melbourne and, Shane Bourne was the host and I love him. And Josh Lawson was on, Ed Cavalli, Sean McAuliffe was on my episode too.
Yep.
And I just remember sitting there going, fuck, I'm just surrounded by all these legends. I was so nervous. It is totally real. It is improv. They throw you in. Thank God you're here. And I was like, oh my God. And I honestly watch it back sometimes because I'm a wanker. But I watch it back sometimes and I go, I really did okay considering I was shitting myself because I didn't see myself as an improv person, even though I had done improv with Adam.
I was going to say, had you ever done it before?
I did. I did improv with Adam Spencer at I had actually done, and I did the Jewish theatre sports as well. So I had actually done some improv, and I also studied a bit of acting and stuff here on the coast. So I shouldn't say I was I hadn't done it before. I had, but I wasn't exactly a seasoned
veteran.
No, yeah, and I was with
not. You're a veteran now, of course.
Now I'm a veteran, but yeah, I had a ball. What they do, the only way they cheat is that they edit it. So you do go in, you're thrown under the bus. They totally don't help you at all.
Yeah,
it's all authentic and legit.
So it's more of a 10-minute segment, not a 5-minute segment.
Yes, yes. I reckon I was probably there maybe even for 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
And then they edit it. So
well, hopefully just for the good
bits. Yes. Yeah. You just see the good bits because I thought, fuck, I actually wasn't that funny, but they've edited it and I actually sound funny. I was like, yay, that's a win. And in the last one, when you do the group one with everyone, you're so fine because you're there with, you know, as I said, Josh Lawson, who's gone on to be one of the greats. He's awesome. You know, yeah, well, Sean McAuliffe
is the best of the best.
Oh, McAuliffe, like just sitting with him, just watching him and his cogs of his mind, watching the comedic genius. I was like, I am not worthy. So, you know, I'll probably never get to work with those kind of guys again, or who knows. So it was a real moment for me. I just wish there was bloody social media back then because I'd be shouting it from the bloody rooftops. Oh, I was on Thank God You're Here. But now I just sort of put up these images, you know, hey, back in the day I was on Thank God You're Here. And most people are too young who follow me to know it. They're like, oh, what was that? And I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Just the biggest show on TV at the time. Yeah, don't right, worry about yeah. it, you know.
So now going back to your radio, so like you, let's say you go into the office, you got 4 hours to fill.
Yeah.
But there's like nothing. There's like donuts.
Yeah.
How are you going to fill 4 hours?
Look, to be honest, there's never donuts because the world is so fucking crazy that there's always some sort of, you know, a woman finds a python in her sneakers in Uganda. Like there's always something on the net, right? So I never have to worry about that. It's very different. I'm lucky to say that I've done breakfast shows for 10 years now and I've done solo shows. So solo shows are different. There's pros and cons. The solo shows are great because it's my show and essentially me and the content director will just nut out what we think is the big news for the day. So when I was here on the Gold Coast and I was doing the drive show on Gold FM, my boss was Corey Kay and I'd just go into him and he'd kind of let me run my own race, which is awesome because he knows I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
So he'd just say, all right, what do you got on the show today? And I go, oh, I'm going to have Dobbo on. We'll talk about the NRL because it was Gold FM, which is Triple M now. So we did sport. We'll talk about the NRL games for the weekend and, you know, this has happened and, you know, Gold Coast Airport shut down today with a scare. Well, I might get the Gold Coast Airport security guard on and I could kind of just organise my own show. And there's a certain sense of autonomy in that. I really enjoyed that because I'm in control. When you do a breakfast show, it's a lot more fun and I love what I do now. Working with Dan and Ben is awesome. They're hilarious and very, we're a great team. We've all got our own talents in our own places and pardon me. Oops, I just burped. How lovely. We've all got our own talents. So we all bring those talents and they're all strengths in different places. But the problem with being a part of, well, not the problem, but one of the issues of being part of a big show is that if I might have something I'm passionate about that I think is great content, but the boys and our producer might not agree. So it's a, what do you call it?
Double-edged sword?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, it's by vote. You know what I mean? Like we all sort of have to agree on a break. So that's the only negative of being in a group show is that sometimes there's content that
by committee.
Yes. Sometimes there's content that I would do that I know that the rest of the team would go, eh, but I know it would be really good.
Yeah.
But I can't convince them because they can't get into my head to hear it. So I just have to suck it up and go, all right, fuck it. Just drop it. Just let it go. But also being in a solo show, you don't have that great banter. You know, like Dan and Ben and I have fun banter. We give each other so much shit and we just have a laugh every day. And that is infectious and I feed off their energy. So that's the only thing. There's pluses and cons, pros and cons.
And what about the nationalisation of radio? Because, I mean, nowadays in Australia, I don't know so much overseas, but in Australia at least, after midday, a lot of the stations just pipe it through from Sydney and Melbourne. So there's a whole bunch of radio DJs that lost their job one day and they're sitting going, what the fuck? So what's your opinion on the nationalisation of radio?
Look, it's sad and what can I say? It's progress and it's shitty progress.
Well, I was going to say, but is it good progress?
No, it's not. It's not good because for someone like me who did start out in the country, so I was spruiking. I was a Marilyn Monroe impersonator here on the Gold Coast and I did a lot of spruiking and I did voiceovers and I did acting and I did bit parts on Paradise Beach and I did whatever I could to pay the rent.
Yep.
I was a bits up, bits of this, bits of that. And I loved it because you learn showbiz from the ground up. You learn to just shut the fuck up, take the gig, do what you have to do. I couldn't afford aircon in my car. So I would drive to the shopping centres and go into the shopping centre and do my air conditioning do my makeup in the aircon so it didn't melt off. And then I'd go and take my little speaker and I'd stand outside bloody Suzanne Gray and I'd spruik for $20 an hour. You know, so I've paid my dues. And I went and did country radio. And that was great because country radio, I got to be me. You know, Rod Bryce, who was the boss then, he saw something in me and went, just be you. Just be you. And that's a beautiful thing and a very rare thing because now with the kids that come in that want to be on radio, because they don't have those country jobs, you have to enter the industry already being good enough to be on a capital city radio show, kind of.
Because there is no country radio.
No. And to enter the industry and already have the talent to do what I do and Dan and Ben does, you know, at this level is hard because you need to be able to fuck up. You need to go to the country and talk about shit and do shit breaks and get your boss, have your boss hammer you and go, that was crap. You know, toughen up, you know. I don't know if I would be in this industry if I had to just start at Nova when I was 26. You know, it's there's a lot of learning that needs to go on behind the scenes and there's a lot of pressure. And because of that, there's hardly any bloody jobs, you know, so it's hard. It's really hard to get in. So if you're 19 and I get approached all the time by kids, I want to get into radio. And I'm like, look,
don't
be a lawyer like I should have been. No, like I say to people, go to the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. It's a great place to learn. You know, a lot of kids have come out of there and gone on to have great careers.
Well, I suppose that leads me to my final point, being like you have done little bits and pieces of acting and stuff and you did study it. I've done a wee bit of research. You did study.
With Paula Duncan and John Orchard. It's so funny.
So you did study. Are you a little bit annoyed sometimes? You look back and you go, oh, I wish I had have pursued the acting and had a good agent and done a little bit more of that because I really enjoyed doing that. I mean, not that you don't enjoy what you're doing now, but I mean, you think to yourself, oh, I wish I could have done a little bit more.
Yeah, I do go off. I do sometimes. It's a sliding doors moment because I did a lot of extra work and I did want to be an actor. But a funny story is, if for those of you who remember the show Skippy, remember Skippy?
Yeah, of course.
Remember Tony Bonner?
Well, I'll say yes to help the story.
Yes, Tony Bonner was the guy who flew the helicopter in Skippy, and he was very famous. Famous actor of, you know, bit of a heartthrob, you know, hunk, gorgeous guy, still very handsome. And he was one of my acting teachers here on the Gold Coast. And I remember I was doing a Shakespeare bit or some sort of serious acting monologue. And I remember him saying, Bianca, you're too expressive. You're too over the top. You're going to have to pull it back a bit. Either that or, you know, go and work in radio or do something else because you're not. In order to take on another role, you have to be able to let go of who you are and take on somebody else's personality. And my personality is just so big and bloody annoyingly for me that it was really hard for me to pull it back and be a character. And it was funny because he said to me, I don't know if you're going to be a great actress. I don't know if this is right for you. And I was like, but he was right because.
Do you reckon he was though?
Well, I think he was because although I could probably do it now, back then, I only knew how to be me. I don't think I would have been great at those sort of character roles. So I think I probably found the right job.
So you're happy with the final decision?
I think so. I mean, you have to be, right? No, that's not like I can go back and change it.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's a valid point. Valid point.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
It's never too late, Bianca.
Well, look at Julia Morris. Like, she's like so inspirational to me. She's 52 or something, maybe older. And she did House Husbands and she hadn't really done much acting before that. Like, I would love it if Channel 9 rang me or someone and said, hey, we've got a role on this or Home and Away, we've got a bit part. I would love it. I would do it. But, I mean, I'm so busy with the radio show. It's
well, mate, if they're going to hire Fifi Box for Neighbours, I reckon that you're a shoo-in.
That's right. She's still on it? No.
She was atrocious. She only lasted like 2 months.
Oh, really? Yeah, was she bad?
Like beyond.
Oh, God, I'll have to watch that.
And I'm sure that, look, I'm not speaking out of school. I'm sure if you asked her, she would admit.
She would admit it.
She would say, it was not my best effort.
No, I love Fife. She's bloody great. She would have just been her goofy, natural self.
Well, that's exactly that's what it was. So she couldn't deliver the lines because it's kind of what you were saying, I suppose. She is what she is. And she struggled to be something else.
Something else.
So, maybe she needed to go see Tony Bonner.
And have him say, sorry, Fifi. I think she's doing all right, though, God.
I think so.
She's nailing it.
Now, if we want to learn more about Bianca Dye, where can we go? What can we do?
Look, I'd love you to follow me at Bianca Dye on Instagram. I go very much behind the scenes in my life. I talk about my anxiety. I talk about depression. I talk about all the shit that I go through. I also have a page called At Anxiety Free. That's my mental health awareness page. I do not give it enough love. I need to give it more love. But I'm pretty honest and open on there too.
And there's books, isn't there? Where can we buy a book?
Look, that's funny you should say that. I wrote a book. I co-wrote a book with a girl called Dr. Cindy Pan, who's awesome. Who used to be the go-to doctor on TV back in the day. God, I sound old. We wrote a book called Playing Hard to Get, by someone who has no idea, and that's me. And so the whole book was me asking her relationship advice and just my my atrocity in dating and just my bad luck in dating. It's funny, I've had people come up to me over the years, not many, but a few, and go, oh, your book really helped me. I loved reading your book. And I was like, fuck, my book's helping you, but it didn't help me. So I don't know if I should be giving advice on relationships, but it's, you can still buy it, but oh, fuck, I don't know. Well, HarperCollins it was through. And it,
Google.
And it, Google.
Dr. Google will,
I have a garage full. If you want a copy of my book, just get in touch with me at Bianca Dye on Instagram and I will bloody send it to you for free. Well, it's all yours. I've got like 50 copies in a box and I'm like, I've got to get rid of these.
Well, there you go, so, ladies and gentlemen. On Beer Nuts Productions, we have an exclusive get a free book with every podcast listen.
Free book.
Well, thank
come
you.
Come and get them.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Bianca. I really do appreciate your
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, Goff. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being patient with me. I kept cancelling, but we finally did it and it's been a joy.
Nah, it's all good, all good. And of course, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. 5 stars is always good and a friendly comment.
Yes, please.
And and of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.
Bye.